Would this be a church service if we didn't get in the Word? Not a chance. Not a chance. Would you guys open up to Proverbs chapter 20? I'm going to talk to you real briefly. I'm not going to take much of your time, but we have to get in the Word. What can God do through a faithful, available, and surrendered life? That's all we're going to look at right here. And spoiler alert, look around you. Look in this building. Look at the people. All that's going to come after this. What can God do through a faithful, available, and surrendered life? The verse that immediately came to mind, I was considering these, you know, what to share at a time like this, and this verse just popped right in my head. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man? And that's what we have. We could all raise our hands. And I'm going to add, and woman. Who can find a faithful man and a faithful woman? We found them. Just sitting right here. It's a work that the Lord does. And we've been able to kind of just watch it unfold. It's important for us to remember, as JD was saying, and as Ron will say, and as all those who come up after this, this is a work of God. And it's something where we can all sit here and attest to the fact that this is what happens when you're faithful. This is what happens when you're available and surrendered to the Lord. And you know what's exciting about all of that is that it's an opportunity for every single one of you. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. And one thing that we've learned from Bill and from Vi all these years is this is something that they steward. Something that God has given to them. It's not theirs. They don't own it. And we'll go through. I found this really neat list that I want to share with you guys here in a second that I got from Bill and Vi. Stewardship. Grabbing what God has given you and taking care of it. For 34 years, we've been able to sit under faithful stewardship of God's work. And that's exciting. All this fruit. Again, we just can't help but think, what can God do through a faithful, available, and surrendered life? Something that's available for every single one of us. In Christ, we have that. If you guys would, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 6. So we just went through, what does it look like to be faithful? God's called us to be faithful. Couldn't do it apart from Him and His faithfulness, though. And you guys know that. And then Isaiah chapter 6, this is kind of the available part, right? And a fun story, you guys know the story if you know Bill and Vi, but they got saved and the next week, what were they doing? Passing out bulletins, right? You guys know the story. What do you call that? You call that available, right? Available. Here I am, I want to serve, right? We see this here. Very similar. So let's start in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. You guys know this, man. There's a lot going on here, but we're going to apply it to today. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, one each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One cried to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. The house was filled with smoke. Imagine the scene in heaven. The King of Kings, the God of the universe, right? And there he is, beholding him. So Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And we see that there was a time in Bill and Vi's life where they started following Christ. They recognized this, and then you'll see verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, this is Isaiah, having his hand in a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth. He said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away. Your sin has been purged. That's a work of Jesus, right? Every single one of you have opportunity to grab that. And then he says, I heard the voice of the Lord. Pause for a second. Consider that. I heard the voice of the Lord. What does that look like in your guys' lives? To hear him, to sit with him. You're born again, and you have an opportunity now to hear the voice of the Lord, to be faithful. And here we see a man being available. What's he say? The Lord says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And then I said, here am I, send me. Who will pass out bulletins? Well, they will, you know. Who will continue to do this? What can God do through a life that is faithful, available, and surrendered to Jesus, right? Look around. Isn't that so sweet? There's a whole lot more than this, I know. I had the privilege of being able to sit in one of Bill's classes. I got to take it as a student. I'm not sure how that all works, but I also got to teach it. It was great. I had to do very little homework and for it, but so it was a great deal. If I could do more of that, Randall, let me know. But in it was a principles and ministries class. And Bill invites pastors and their wives in from various places, and they just come and just share with the students things that they've learned in their years of ministry. And I looked this up and found it. And I want you guys to try to think, how many of these do you just recognize? From you sitting in this service year after year after year, sitting underneath Bill's teaching, they were incredible. I'm just going to read through them. Enjoy them, bear with me, but also think, man, how many times have we heard this, right? And this is all an extension, as we'll end with, of a work that God has done. This is all an extension of the Lord and his love for us. Faith goes all the way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How many times have you guys heard that? Faith goes all the way. Remain steadfast in the word, fellowship, and prayer. Unceasingly pray. Seek his face, and you'll find his will. He said, don't leave the dock before the ship comes in. Let patience have its perfect work. We cannot rush the trial. Let God work in it. God's people need revival. We've spent years praying for revival because a man's heart desired it, right? Put in there. The call into ministry is never small. There is no service for the Lord that is small. It is all weighty and significant. Be faithful. From passing out bulletins to standing on stage leading worship, man, the Lord sees it all and loves it. What's he calling you to do? God is more interested in the minister than the ministry. God's desire is to take us through a trial, not take us out, because it's there that we'll grow. These are lessons we've all learned, right, through the faithful teaching of God's word. Be yourself. It's who God made you. Thing that he had mentioned. One that you guys have seen lived out over all the years. Be others-centered. Simply be available. I'm quoting Bill, just so you guys know. It is all about others. Do not forget the destination that we will be with the Lord. This one's kind of funny and a little scary. Do not touch the women. Do not touch the money. And do not touch the glory, because they will destroy you. It's a good strong word though, isn't it? It's a good strong word, truth. Amen to that. So character matters. Have we seen that lived out in these last 34 years? When I am weak, he is strong. Healthy sheep beget healthy sheep. The biggest trials you'll go through will revolve around people. They're the ones that hurt the most because it can be personal, but you must love in the midst of those times. Be patient with them and love them. Isn't that sweet? Just the heart of a pastor right there. Ministry is a tremendous privilege. Where God guides, what does he do? He provides. Amen. Practice the presence of God no matter where you are. Ask God to show you what he's doing. We see a man and a woman who've lived that out all their lives. The ministry for him flows out of a ministry to him. Enjoying him is what matters first and foremost. We've been taught that as a body. Read Proverbs every day. Have we heard that before? the word of God being sown into your heart, the most exciting ministry we'll ever do is what God calls and ignites into our hearts. Always finish well. We've seen that right here. God uses people who wait on his timing. God does not do it in the way that we want. He has his way. God uses those who are broken because they're humble and usable. And finally, God's will must be done according to his ways. We've sat underneath that. Principles in ministry, things that have guided Bill and Vi all these different years, we sit here and think, wow, look how rich this has been. Because we've been able to sit under the teaching of somebody and who lives these out every day, faithful and available to us. And finally, surrendered. I'll be closing up in just one moment. You guys calm down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And this is a verse that my wife and I, we love it. It encapsulates what we want our hearts to be. And then for you guys as a church, for how you feel towards one another. But this is something that we have just seen lived out before our very eyes. So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased not to impart to you only the gospel of God, which you guys better believe that's what you got every Sunday, the gospel. But notice this, but also our own lives, because you'd become so dear to us. And each one of us, I was going to put a picture up of Bill standing up here, my family, and he's holding my daughter Nora for a baby dedication. And I couldn't have seen it and made it through all this, so I just didn't. I ran away from all those emotions, right? I'm working on emoting. But today I just didn't. I ran away from it. But it's a beautiful picture. It's a picture that every single one of you people have who've been impacted by the life and ministry of somebody who's been faithful, available, and surrendered. And it's holding my daughter, and I've got my extended family up here, just lives impacted, right? You guys have had that. All of this, though, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've got this scripture. And then I've got one I'm going to ask you guys to repeat with me for fun. And then we'll end in Matthew, but I've got very little more to say. But love, we wanted to hear pages turn this morning. We wanted to hear him, so thanks for bringing those real Bibles. Appreciate it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, where we know the source of all of this comes from. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. For that, real quick, Bill and Vi, we say thanks for your labor. But we all know this, right? And they would agree as well. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. And so again, this is a work of the Lord. Look what God can do. That, remember that? What can God do through a life that is faithful, available, and surrendered? Isn't that a call for each of us? We have a decision to make, right? I want to be faithful, available, and surrendered, like to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that is discussed today, every ministry opportunity, every impact on a soul, family, church, and generation and city, all of this, though, you guys, listen, was an extension of God's love for us. And they embodied it and lived it out, but this is a work of God because he loves you. He loves each soul. He loves this city of Lawrence. He loves this church. He loves your family. Generations being impacted and touched because of his love. And God can use a person. If you want to, you can turn. You don't have to, but it might help. I think we'll have John 3:16 on the thing. And how many times has Bill had us repeat this? But it goes with it. This is an extension of God's love. And if you guys would, let's just read it for me, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen, right? Simple stuff, isn't it? But it's truth. It brings life to you. We've said under that. And where does this all end? Where does this leave us? Where does it leave you? What does God do through a person who is faithful, available, and surrendered? Like surrender to the Lord, man. Fires, hearts that are on fire for Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, ready to get after it for a lost and broken world. Like, hey, there's a lot of people here today. Like, let's go, right? What has God called us to do? Simple stuff, man. Matthew chapter 28. I'm just going to read this. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to get out of your way. But let this sink in for a second. This is what God's called us to. When Bill and I got saved back in the day, and we're going to get to hear a little bit about that story, they started being faithful, available, and surrendered. But they took these words seriously. And I'm just going to put a call out there. Hey, let's do the same, right? There's a harvest of souls out there. We got work to do for the sake of people. This is Matthew chapter 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, "All authority has been given to me on heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." He's with us all the way through. He's been here, part of this work, all the way through. And man, can I encourage you guys, let your hearts love the Lord. Surrender to him. Enjoy him. What can God do through a life that is surrendered like that? Man, look around. And it's awesome. So incredible what God has done. And I don't know about you, but I want to be a part of what God's doing. And I want to invite you guys to be a part of what God's doing. In your neighborhoods, your city, wherever you come from, your school, your workplace, God wants to use you. He desires that we would be faithful, available, surrendered. But all that, man, that comes through just the work of Jesus. It's his grace that does it. Let's surrender to that and let's pray. Lord Jesus, here we are. We need you. We cry out to you. But Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for your word, that it's been something that has been our guide for these last, for them, for the last 34 years of ministry, that this is something that was open and pages were flipped through every single Sunday for 34 years. Lord, thank you so much for that. A beautiful legacy, God, but we thank you for the work you're continuing to do, that you're still above all things, that you're still the King of Kings, and that you're moving in the hearts of people, and you're filling us with your Spirit. God, we need you. And so we ask that you would fill us, each person in here, that we would just take a moment and say, God, here I am, send me. Here we are, Lord, we want to be used. Thank you for what you have done. We give praise to you. Would you continue to be a part of this service, Lord? We worship you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Bill and Vi. Let this be a special time. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Hey, with that, I'm going to invite Ron back up, and we've got some more things in store for you, okay? Thanks. Yep.
Anybody know what the number 12,418 means? 12,418. Anybody know? That's the number of days from July 4th, 1988 to July 4th, 2022. It's just 12,418 days. So, amen? Pretty sweet. Well, so when Chuck Smith was ending the end of his ministry, he had set up a group of guys called the Calvary Chapel Association, a select number of pastors. In modern days, for you younger, they'd call them the OGs, right? Okay, thank you. The OGs to sort of shepherd where Calvary Chapel would go, how God would leave the Calvary Chapel churches into the future. And Bill was one of those guys. And so we have a video here from Sandy Adams, just on behalf of the CCA guys, just to honor today and just to share a message with us and with Bill and Vi. And we just want to share that with you right now.
Greetings, my name is Sandy Adams. I pastor the Calvary Chapel in Stone Mountain, Georgia. And I'd like to send my congratulations today to Bill and Vi Goodrich.
Thank you for your many, many years of faithful service to the church at Horizon, to the city of Indianapolis, and to the body of Christ at large. Bill, you are truly a pastor of pastors. I know your life has been a blessing both to your own congregation and to the Calvary Chapels throughout the Midwest. You know, as I get older in the ministry, I discover that the thing that I value most are my friendships. And Bill, you've been a true friend over the years, and I count it a privilege to know you as a friend and as a co-laborer in Christ. And I hope that today is a wonderful day for you and for Vi. I know the people there want to celebrate your life and the blessing you've been to them. And I want to join in that as well. Bill, we love you. We thank you so much for what you've us. Thank you, Bill, for your perseverance, your stick-to-itness. And thank you, Bill, not only have you served the Lord, but you've served God, God's way. And that means so very much in these days. Well, God bless the Goodriches. Thank you, Bill and Vi. Hope you have a wonderful day. And God bless Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis.
Just sweet to see that. Sandy was here just a couple weeks ago for our Midwest Pastors Huddle. And just blessed to have him share that from the guys across the country. So we thought we would we'd sort of go back in time a little bit. You heard Jordan in his message just share about, you know, when Bill and Vi got saved. And if my memory is correct, it's 1976 is that day. And so, you know, 75, did I get it wrong? I shorted him a year. Dang it. No. But, you know, you have to dig out there and find some people that were around in those days, right? But we persevered because we have learned that, right? So we would love to invite up a couple that served with Bill and Vi back in San Diego and also then served here with our ministry for many years. And just a special family to us and the fellowship here. So if we could, without any more, would Jeff and Judy Seward, would you guys come up?
Well, good morning, everyone. Actually, we were stepping in for Mike McIntosh, was invited to come, but he has some challenges, some health issues and things. And so Ron said today, Jeff, can I talk to you for a second? And I said, sure. And I thought I knew exactly what he was going to ask us to do. But it is an honor. It is an honor to be here, Bill, with you and Vi and your beautiful family and all of you, our friends. Many of you we know, many of you we've not met. But we go back 45 years. 1977 is when I moved to San Diego and then got invited to this church that met in a theater called Calvary Chapel, San Diego, which and then in time it changed its name. And so a funny little story I want to tell about Bill is there was a man that was a part of our church at the time that for those of us that are oldies but goodies in this room, remember the old Winston Tastes Good commercial? Winston tastes good, like, I'm not going to sing it all. But anyway, somebody pointed out that that was Bill Goodrich that sang that jingle. And so when I moved to San Diego, I thought, okay, you know, the land of fruits and nuts. But I thought, surely they're going to meet famous people out here. But I didn't think that we would hear about the guy that sang that Winston commercial jingle. So for several months, I thought it was Bill that sang that song. But have you ever heard him sing? He can't carry a tune. So then I realized it wasn't Bill. But little did we know that Judy had served as Mike's secretary at the time. And the Lord brought Judy and me together 2 years after that. And then the Lord called me on staff. And I had the privilege of serving with Bill in San Diego. And then God prepared him to move here to Indianapolis, and we never thought we would be in Indiana either, but God called us here a few years after. And so Bill has been, as Jordan did so beautifully in the message, a faithful friend, a man that sticks closer than a brother. And one of the things I want to say about Bill, and then Judy has some thoughts, is when we had moved here and were serving on the west side of Indianapolis, you know, as we all go through struggles and battles and insecurities about things, and believe it or not, you really do in the ministry as a pastor. You're thinking, am I doing what God's called me to do, and am I delivering the goods? Am I really helping people, blah, blah, blah. And I called Bill, and I said, Bill, do you have a minute? And he said, Jeff, he said, anything for you. I'm available for you right now. those words. And I've always thought, you know, I could call on Bill 24/7. And, you know, I knew because he was a man that loves God and he loves people. And one of the things that when I served here for 5 years, that, you know, one of Bill's favorite spots in this whole church is out in that lobby waiting for you to come through the doors because he loves you, because he loves God. And so he has been just that, a faithful, faithful friend. So I've got a couple more thoughts, but I'll let Judy share a couple real quick.
Mine will be very fast because I'm going to fall apart. Thank you for your friendship. Bill did our premarital counseling.
That's why we're
in
still
San
together.
Diego. 43 years ago.
Judy was 4 and I was 2 when we got married.
Yeah, we were in the toddler room. Yeah, and so it worked. But they have truly been, you know, I look around this room and we see many friends. And we are so thankful for that because friendship is such a gift over the years. You know, time goes by and we have moved more than I can count. And but to stay in friendship with people is such a gift to me. And so Vi has been a very dear friend, a heart friend, somebody, my son and his wife lived here, and their son had a liver transplant at 7 months old. Vi was somebody who really reached out to me because I was here a lot helping, and just faithful friend who can find. So I found one in you, and Bill, thank you for your friendship to my husband through the years in ministry here when, you know, ministry isn't easy sometimes. So thank you, guys. We just love you with all of our hearts.
Just a couple more thoughts. I've said this to Judy many times, that when we get to heaven, I look forward to the reward that God is going to give Bill and Vi. Just in their love for God, their desires to follow him all these years, and their faithfulness and love to their children and grandchildren and to all of you. And I was thinking of a couple verses came to mind this morning. One of them is in Nehemiah, when Nehemiah was called back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And you think, building the walls, what does that have to do, you know, with brick and mortar? And they had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. The walls represented a lot of things. Protection, yes, but it also represented things spiritually. And so I've seen this is what Bill and Vi have done. They've just been trying to build the walls of people's lives spiritually and make them strong in the Lord. But Nehemiah was called to come out to, he was being deceived, and he was called out to this plain outside of Jerusalem, and these two men wanted to kill him. But he knew they were up to something. He sent some messengers out, and he said this, "I am doing a great work." And so, Bill and Vi, what you've been doing since you've come to the Lord is God has used you to do a great work. And this is the great work. Mm-hmm. Lives here, lives that have gone on to heaven, many that have, you know, gone and moved it to different cities, like us. The other one is this. This is in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. "For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name in that you ministered to the saints and do minister." The Lord's not finished with you yet. "And we desire," and this is now, I think, Jordan's from Scripture exhortation to you and to me, "and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end," until the Lord takes us home one way or the other, through death or his return, "that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Bill and Vi have set an example for you. They're still going to be around, but they've just tried to pass the torch to Jordan and to all of you that you all have a work to do, to love God, to love people, and to do his work. God is not finished. Somebody once said, God is not finished with a man or woman until they've served their generation. So we all have work to do. So Bill and Vi, thank you. Thank you for being wonderful friends. And thank you, Lord, we get to spend eternity together, right? God bless you. Thank you.
How sweet. Back in April, we said out loud that faithfulness is just a long obedience in the right direction. Faithfulness, just a long obedience in the right direction. Never doubt what God will do with one simple obedience. So, Bill has always told us that story of when they moved from when this Jersey boy, right, went to the Navy. And I think most have heard the story. I think about the sovereignty of God, Bill, that you didn't serve as a gunner on the side of a helicopter. He might be the only living man in America who volunteered to serve as a gunner on a helicopter in Vietnam and didn't get that assignment, right? Because you'd always said, they never turned anybody down for that, right? If they found a guy willing to do that, you were going to sit in that seat, right? And yet God had other plans, right? That he would end up on an aircraft carrier serving on a sub-hunter plane during Vietnam. Then gets out of Vietnam, ends up and stays in San Diego, which I get if I was born in Jersey and was end up in San Diego, I might stay too, Bill, right? Meets his bride, right? They then later meet Jesus, serve in the ministry there at Horizon in San Diego. And then in their call to Indianapolis, he's told us before, it took us 2 weeks to get out of California to Indiana, and then it took God 2 years to get the California out of us. And so we thought we would just take some scan of some pictures here, and Brett has put together some stuff for us here to look at on the screens. And I love this picture. We could probably talk all morning about the story and that goes behind those sunglasses, right? With him and Mike there, what goes on there. But we thought we'd just take a look here at through some of the things through Horizon through the years as far as just their ministry. And so I get to talk about some of just the factual stuff, just some of the numbers stuff and things like that. And so there's the apartment. After spending 2 years in Indianapolis and not knowing why they were here, that God finally laid it on their heart a permission to plant a church in Indianapolis. And this is the door, as I understand it, that they looked out one Sunday morning and saw five couples standing outside and said, "Hey, we're doing church in your living room today. We're not going to go visit churches. We're going to do church in your living room today." So when that got too full from a living room, then they ended up in the clubhouse, right, at the apartment complex. Until that got too full. And as then they processed from there, we know the story that they ended up at Colonial Hills Baptist Church. I'm going to advance me there, Brett, in case it's not. There we go. So that's the Colonial Baptist Church where they rented the basement, the cellar dwellers, as Bill has called it, right? And there are some cellar dwellers here in the room today still. And had to rent that space, right? And Bill went, I still remember the story, and he goes to this pastor. I'm assuming that pastor's with the Lord now, right? And he told Bill the amount that he wanted the space to be rented for. And Bill, I think, probably gave him a look or sighed or something about the amount. And that pastor, he asked him a question, and I wonder if he really knew what he was asking as we sit here 34 years later. He said, "Where's your faith, son? Where's your faith to pay that amount, right, monthly?" So from there, we end up on the campus here at Horizon on South Campus, right? And a prophetic word by someone in the church that this church was going to overlook Geist, right? When they thought they'd be in a warehouse somewhere, which was very, very common for Calvary chapels back in the day. So from being on the campus here, then the church started in the fireside room, which still sits over there today and is used for ministry today. Went back and forth from one service in the fireside room to being too big, to being one service in the cafeteria on South Campus, then two services in the fireside room until that got too big, then two services in the cafeteria until we get to the point where God led and blessed to be on this meadow right here where you sit today for our church here at Horizon Indy to be located. And through that, just the ministries then, right? The ministries of just the preaching of the Word of God every Sunday. Brett said he chose this picture because he just loves the picture, right? Just loves the picture, right? That's the pastor I remember, the one that told me he dyed his hair to look his age, right? So, no. As we came in the door then. That's probably a slide projector days, right? For the words and worship, though. So. From there, just looking at the ministries, right? The children's ministries, Awana that would come. Never to leave the children behind. It was on Bill and Vi's heart as they pastored. Going through men's ministry, women's ministry through the years, right? There's probably some interesting faces in there. So, looking at just the youth ministry, right? Brett first put this in upside down, and I thought that was just on purpose. I thought that makes sense, right? That makes sense. Upstairs in the chapel. Going from there, just the overall ministries there until one day God said, you're going to have a school, right? We're going to have this school at Horizon Indy, Horizon Christian School. Best we can tell, like over 4,000 individual children have come through Horizon Christian School through the years, right? How amazing that is, right? From Horizon Christian School then, we go to Camp Indy, right? And just looking at all that God has done on this property every single summer of the year through Camp Indy. Amazing. We at least understand 6,000 plus individual campers, right? That's not the number of camp weeks of how many times, you know, a kid has been here 10 weeks out of the summer and every summer for 6 or 7 years, but individual campers through the summers here in the name of Jesus, being presented the gospel, being loved on, being ministered to through the years. From there we go to Calvary Chapel Bible College that started as the School of Evangelism. Right, the number of lives that have come through here, some crazy lives, right? As we focus on, like, I mean, let us not underestimate the power of God and what He can do with a faithful, obedient, surrendered life of God, right? So. But I don't know what heaven's going to be like as far as just in general. I think the movie theater in heaven is we get to go and see the testimonies of all that God has done through people, right? And make sure you pay attention when the year for Calvary Chapel Bible College comes to see that movie, because there's going to be just amazing things all over the world that have been done through that ministry, right? So Horizon University came from that. Right, moved from San Diego to here. And in there, ministries that we haven't even counted. God has put radio stations in the life of the ministry that we have ministered here. There's a guy here in this church today that went to Calvary Chapel Bible College, and he's only here because he was driving through Indianapolis, and he heard the Word of God being taught on a radio station, and it talked about Horizon Indy, and he drove to this property, met Jesus, serves the Lord, has a family. You never underestimate what God will do with one obedience. With one obedience. So we look at this out of our logo, just this idea of this tree of just all that God has done, right? That we don't know the ripples. We don't know what one obedience 34 years ago means today. It may seem small today, but it's not small. This is not. It matters. It matters to be faithful. I have a family today because a faithful man laid hands on my wife and I underneath the Holy of Holies at Horizon. It's right there under the scoreboard. It's the Holy of Holies. And they laid hands on us and prayed for us that God would open a womb that doctors have said was closed and that a child would come forth. One obedience, we don't know what will happen. So, we just want to say this, and I just pray you'd help me, Lord, get through the reading of this, right? Before we go on to so many other amazing testimonies. But as a congregation, as a staff, as a board of Horizon Indy, we just want to honor, Lord, what Bill and Vi Goodrich have done for 34 years of serving the Lord as our pastor. Words will never express the amount of blessing and instruction and wisdom and love and care they have shown this portion of the body of Christ over more than three decades. From an obedient serving of five couples in their living room to the wide breadth of people in all the ministries today, Bill and Vi have been faithful stewards of the ministry, work, and precious souls God gave them to steward. You heard Jordan highlight that. We'll always be grateful and blessed for Bill's commitment to faithfully and steadfastly teach the whole counsel of God's word, word by word, verse by verse, week in, week out, year in, year out. It's easy to skip the hard stuff if you don't have that. It's faithful to teach the hard stuff when you go word by word, verse by verse. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Bill has told us week after week after week of our being and sitting in his ministry. He continually put the fellowship here at Horizon Indy in the hearing of God's word. And we are the better for it. Bill and Vi have lovingly focused on the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, us. Ephesians 4:12 tells us. In their time at Horizon, their love for the precious people of God has been a model for us to do likewise. Jesus said, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Bill and Vi have taught us, modeled for us, the one another, loving one another through Christ. I say this on all of our behalf this morning. All of Horizon Indy, all who have ever walked through those doors, through South Campus doors, through Colonial Baptist doors, through the doors of the clubhouse at their apartment complex and through their apartment, all of those will be eternally grateful for their example as a husband and wife, as a leader, as a pastor, who loved Jesus and loved others and led them to love Jesus as well. All of us. And Bill has taught us that all means what?
All.
I'd like to welcome up nearly one of those originals, Terry Noble. If you are here, you make your way over. I'm excited to hear from Terry as she just has an opportunity just to share from her time in early ministry here at being a part of the body of Christ. And if you know Terry, you know that God is good and he is a miracle worker. Amen. So welcome Terry and Dave Noble.
First of all, this is off the script, but what I want to say to Ron and to Jordan and to Jeff, ditto. For various reasons, several friends and I were looking for a church home. At that time, several of us were lost sheep. A friend, I wish I could remember his name, called me one day and asked if I had found a church yet. I said no. And he said there were a group of folks meeting at Bill and Vi's apartment, living room, and invited me to go. I had met Bill and Vi a few times at a previous church. Some of us had attended. Anyway, while I don't remember everything about my first visit, I do remember being very nervous. But when I got there, Bill and Vi remembered me. And I knew most of the people that were there. My nervousness went away. Thank you. In the first visit, I do remember I felt the Lord telling me that I was home. And I found where I belonged, which is still true today. The gatherings then were a lot like the services we have today. We worshiped in song, we were taught the word, and we prayed. I have still my Thompson Chain reference King James Bible, which I think was Calvary Chapel issue at the time. It seems like there were a lot more people coming every day, every week, and the spirit was sweet. We eventually outgrew the apartment living room and moved to the clubhouse, which you saw in the pictures. And on from there, a church was being born, and God's timing is always amazing. I'm so grateful for the Lord that the Lord brought Bill and Vi to the land of horizontal beauty when he did. And I am grateful that they were obedient to that call. Even though I was in my 30s and a single mother when I started coming to Bill and Vi's living room, I felt that I've grown up in this ministry, and I'm not sure I can say it better than to say God has made Horizon Christian Fellowship my church home and has made me belong here. I think that is worthy of a praise-a-luia. Bill and Vi, I love you both. Thank you for being obedient servants.
Not my gift.
For those who don't know me, I'm Debbie Marshall. I'm an old timer around here. And I like Terry, I'm going off a script. I've been told I have a strict time limit and I've got to keep it together. So I'm going to forgive me for reading. The vision of Horizon Indy Women's Ministry is to help each woman grow in her passion for God as she learns through prayer and the study of God's word, the depth of his love and holiness, and his power and total sufficiency to meet every need. We seek to encourage each woman to be a support to her family and to the body of Christ, and to become a woman that continually abides in Christ and bears much fruit. Shortly after the church was planted 34 years ago, Vi began a women's ministry, probably not with the goal of starting a women's ministry necessarily, but she started with a simple Bible study, women meeting together around the Word of God. I started attending the church when it was just a few months old, and the first thing I did to get involved was to attend a women's Bible study. There were four of us who met in Denise Christie's home on the west side of Indianapolis, and there were more children present than there were adult women. Bible study is a mainstay of the women's ministry at Horizon to this day, with four different studies meeting weekly just this past spring. Over the years, there have been many meetings to plan and organize for our Bible studies and other events. One of my favorite memories is one particular women's ministry meeting at Bill and Vi's house when they lived over on Towsley Street. It was probably 1990 or 1991. Four or five women met in the living room, and there were kids and toys everywhere. And there was noise, lots of noise. We were very much about the business of planning whatever it was that we were planning in all that chaos. Bill came home for lunch with Toby Reisner, and the look on their faces was priceless when they entered the home. They could not imagine how we were getting anything at all accomplished, and as I recall, they got out of there pretty quickly. A lot has happened under the banner of Horizons Women's Ministry and under Vi's leadership. For many years, we've hosted annual women's retreats, not only for our own women, but for women from Calvary Chapel churches across the five-state region here in the Midwest. The set-apart time of study in God's Word, worship, fellowship, and prayer has been a highlight for me. Over the years, there have been countless prayer meetings, Moms in Touch prayer groups, women's breakfasts, Mother's Day, and Christmas events. Women receive biblical counseling, one-on-one discipleship, and mentoring. We've held events teaching practical topics such as home organization, meal planning and preparation, gardening, parenting, and other valuable homemaking skills. We've had crafting events, and one time we even made decorative dolls out of cotton string mops, if you can imagine that. There have been road trips, hiking, camping, and canoeing trips over the years. We've hosted conferences for women and a purity conference for teenage girls, and we've attended other conferences elsewhere. We've participated in festivals of life to minister to women and children in our community. Women have had opportunities to make fabric Bible covers, purses, and tote bags to bless women overseas that our missionary women minister to. For the past several years, Vi has welcomed women and young girls in her home to learn the arts of sewing, crochet and knitting, and quilting. All of these things have been wonderful opportunities for women to gather for fellowship while also receiving encouragement in their walks with Jesus. Literally thousands of meals have been prepared by the women of our fellowship to support families who've added a new baby or experienced a surgery or other difficulties. Homes have been cleaned, and our missions house for missionaries on furlough was furnished. Many families have been ministered to through funeral meals. Groceries, diapers, and household products have been delivered to families experiencing need and have given us an opportunity to show the love and compassion of Christ. God truly gets the glory for everything that has been done through the Horizon Women's Ministry, as we know we can't do anything of kingdom value without the power of His Holy Spirit. But He uses available and obedient vessels. And our pastor's wife has been a willing and faithful vessel for 34 years at Horizon. A woman who joyfully followed her husband across the country from San Diego to Indiana. A woman who was also called and not just simply hauled. She is a woman who loves God's word more than anyone I know, and who has a passion to teach it to other women. She faithfully uses her gifts to be a blessing to countless women who've been part of Horizon Indy over the years, as well as women across the country she's had the opportunity to minister to as a retreat and conference speaker. It has been a privilege and an honor to serve with Vi in women's ministry for much of the past 34 years. She is so much more than my pastor's wife and my Bible study teacher. She is my mentor, the one who never fails to point a person to Jesus. And she's my very dear friend. I believe I can safely speak for everyone listening when I say, Vi, we are so grateful for the foundation you laid and have faithfully built upon, and for the blessing you are to all of us. We love you, and we're so very thankful for you.
Like Ron, I'm going to look this direction for a little bit. I'm Scott Elman, here representing the school. I've had the privilege to serve the school for 12 years, and Bill uses that word all the time. It is a privilege to serve. And so the head of school was with his family in Florida, so he wrote this letter to you guys, and I'll read it briefly here. Bill and Vi, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. That's Philippians 1:3. These are the most appropriate words I can find at this time to say thank you for following the call and vision of God many years ago to see Him do a marvelous work of grace on the beautiful Horizon campus. The ministries here continue to this day to bring forth abundant fruit in the lives of thousands. As a leader of Horizon Christian School, it's been my great and particular joy to see the hand of God imprinted upon every aspect of our school. Thousands of young souls have been forever impacted through the school ministry here. Today is a celebration of what God has done and continues to do through your steadfastness and faithfulness. This wonderful ministry will continue to shine forth and magnify Christ in a large part because you laid a strong and settled foundation upon the absolute truth of God's word. Thank you, Bill and Vi. So one of the things I want to share quickly, if you are in this building at all, you see Bill and Vi here all the time, because this is where the people are. That's where God's moving. Bill always says that wherever God's moving is where I want to be, and that's where the people are is where I want to be. So two stories really quick. This room is appropriate to talk about Bill. He loves sports, so he would come here and watch volleyball games and basketball games and either sit right there, or stand in the corner holding a bag of popcorn. So you always knew where to find him. But every once in a while, the game would get a little heated. One of the players, one of the coaches, or a parent would get a little hot. And for those of us staff standing in here, we'd get this from Bill. And he'd be like,
that person needs to sit down. They're not showing Jesus. And that was his heart. No matter what you were doing, you exemplified Jesus. And then Vi, over the years, I've had to call her many times with a young lady weeping in my office because of a family crisis, a divorce, something going on. And I say, Vi, I've got a girl here that needs you. And she would drop everything she's doing. She'd come to this school immediately, literally wrap her arms around that young lady, take her out for lunch, take her out for coffee, and eventually somehow end up at their house sewing. But she would just love on them. So Bill and Vi, that's the legacy. It's like, it's a privilege to serve, and no matter what, you drop everything you are doing to come alongside and show Jesus to all the people. So thank you.
Good morning. What an honor and a privilege to be back here with my Horizon family. My wife and I and kids left about 12 years ago, and we've been back rarely. And it's just so amazing to be here in front of all of you. I was a new graduate, moved to Indianapolis in 1997 with no clue why I was supposed to be here. A word from the Lord saying that I couldn't stay under my parents' house roof. Couldn't go back to school, but I had to be here. I had an invitation from a long-haired, bearded hippie kid that I played music with at Bloomington that said, you should come to Horizon, you'll like it there. So I showed up the first week, had no idea who anybody was or where I should be, and there were some characters in the lobby out there with big smiles on their face that greeted me warmly, and it quickly, I made the realization that this was home. I was hugely involved in a young adults ministry called Koinonia that met on the South Campus, and I think I had absolutely no clue all the different things that were happening in this campus and through this ministry. And it was the next year I had a friend from home call and say she had been hired by a guy in Indianapolis to be an intern and lead this church camp, and she was sorely in need of some men to help. She had a lot of ladies, but no men. I really wasn't interested. I spent a lot of time working at a camp as a high school and college kid. But she had my interest. I grew up in a small town, and she was from this small town. I thought, why would she be in Indianapolis? And she had been hired by Jerry Barnaby to come to my church and lead a camp. And I thought, this is a God-sized coincidence. I probably should listen. She asked me to pray to be a counselor, and I really didn't want to be a counselor that year. But as God would have it, things kind of fell apart, and it looked like summer was wide open, so I came as a counselor. And for some reason, after that summer, Jerry Barnaby and Bill approached me and said, we really need somebody here, more stable, more long-term. Would you consider joining Camp Indy as the staff person here? I think Bill, being in Southern California, being at the Horizons there was this concept, Kids Incorporated, and they had crisis hotline, they had outreaches, they worked with kids after school, they did camps. How could we do Kids Inc. here in Indianapolis? And it's a different culture here, it's a different fit. So I think there's a lot of things that we tried, didn't work. But there was this huge property and lots of kids. And camp turned, it was a thing where I think there was a handful of counselors, a few adult leaders, and kids showed up for a few weeks the first few summers and did an outdoor adventure camp in a Christian setting. That quickly became obvious that having one or two camps that was all summer wasn't a good fit, that we needed to have more kids here. And that was always Bill's question, how do we get more kids here? We split off into camps doing arts and crafts, camps doing outdoor adventure stuff, kayaking, rock climbing, mountain biking. All things that were kind of my passion. And I don't ever remember anybody saying, this is how we're going to do it. This is the roadmap. This is the manual. It was kind of pray about it. Seek the Lord. Look to the Word. And a handful of young counselors and few kids every summer for 12 weeks turned into staff and volunteers at 25, junior high and high school, junior counselors, and 12 separate camps with 12 to 20 kids, and very quickly it went from a few dozen kids to 120 or 150 kids a week. And I say kids, I realize I'm old when I say kids because a lot of the kids are here today with their own kids. And in leadership, it became apparent, I think Bill always was in the process of multiplying himself. The coaching that I got was work yourself out of a leadership position. And it became a big enough thing quickly. I couldn't manage the staff. I couldn't minister to them, but they were ministered to by faithful people, Bible college students and other young adults that loved the Lord. The junior counselors were kids that graduated from the camp program that were excited to be back at camp, and many of them have become faithful servants in the church. And all the kids still get messages and emails from kids doing exciting things. And 10 years into this, 97 to 2007, the Lord called me into a different phase of my life, and it's been amazing to see when God builds a thing, it snowballs, and it doesn't stop when the person at the front stops. And that's my encouragement to you, Bill. You've built a great thing. The Lord has worked you out of a position, and what a beautiful thing. I remember a time, probably at the end of my time here in 2007, where I ran into one of my first counselors, and it was kind of an uncomfortable encounter. She actually ran up to me at the mall, kind of pointing at me, angry. She said, "That was a hard summer. You didn't know what you were doing. The counselors were crazy. I'm not sure the kids were safe." I'm still kind of upset about that summer, and I remember apologizing and thanking her for her service and walking away not at all upset or offended, because it never was anything about those of us in charge. I still don't know how that 10 years happened. There wasn't a manual. There wasn't a lot of specifics. The idea was is to win, disciple, send throughout the process, grow people, grow kids, see people come to Christ. I don't remember a lot of kids coming to Christ the first few summers, but I remember when we started seeing that happening, how huge it was. And I think what a great thing to not be offended by something that you were in charge of, because really it was Christ that was in charge of all of it. And what a beautiful thing. Thanks for having me be a part of it, seeing who knows what in a young man that had no plan after his plans fell through. Thank you, Bill.
So many good people here, just having Jeff Seward here, and just a testimony of multiplying, as Jay said, as you did Judy and Jeff's premarital counseling, Jeff did mine and Wendy's, right? And so just how the Lord has just constantly used Bill and Vi to continue to pour into men and women. There's only one man in this world that's impacted me more than Bill Goodrich, and that's my dad. And just having Bill being able to take young men under their wing and teach them, we see that through the Word of God, right? In Titus chapter 2, that the older should teach the younger. And the biggest thing that the Lord always taught me through Bill and has taught me over the years, and whenever I'd come back and actually share about principles of ministry that Jordan was talking about, I don't know if you remember this, Bill, but it's submission. And submitting. And that's hard for anybody, but I dare say it may be harder for me than most, just being prideful and being a young man coming from Crawfordsville, moving here when I was 18 in 2001 and coming to Bible college, that there was a lot of zeal with just getting saved and wanting to come and learn about Jesus and follow him and take 2 years of my life to just dedicate it to the Lord, and then my plan was to go back to school, or I would say a real school in my mind at the time. But Bill was always challenging me, and I don't know, I don't know if it was, I'm hoping for an 80-20 split here, Bill. Like, I can take 80 and you could take 20. But, like, we can both be a little bit difficult, right? And maybe disagree with each other. And I'll take 80% of that. Maybe 90-10, if you're lucky. But just learning to submit under him. And I will share this story as I continue here as a couple minutes. I remember being in Bible college and coming out of Bible college, we would set this room up. It was part of our service. And I remember, Bill, you would come around and you would check the chairs, and they just needed to be a certain distance apart, and the things had to be straight. And I just remember all this zeal in my heart, like as a young man, I'm like, who cares? It's all about the Word of God. It's just about teaching Jesus. Like, who cares a chair? I'll sit on a 5-gallon bucket and so will the people. I probably wouldn't. But, you know, just that mindset of like the zealousness in my heart was right. But for Bill to come along and say, hey, well, the reason we do that is because we want green waters for the sheep. Or sorry, we want green pastures and we want still waters for the sheep to come in and just rest and feed. And he looked at me and he said, if we can do something about that, shouldn't we? Like if I can spell everything up here correctly so it doesn't distract those English teachers that are trying to worship the Lord, like shouldn't we do that? I don't know if Kay and Oreo, I think I saw you, maybe. I think they were here or not, but maybe it was up on the slide. But just shouldn't we do something about it? And that just hit me as a young man of like, no, you're right. Like, if we can do the best we can to make things look the best they can so people will be less distracted so that the Lord can come and work and the enemy has less things to deal with, to use, then why wouldn't we do that? And so as I went to Bible college, the Lord used it in a huge way to in my life. And I remember just being over at the Brick House, Bill, and we were all meeting and chatting, and this is one of the first times I'd really ever got to talk with you and chat with you. And you were talking to me, and like, oh, you know, what do you want to do? And talking about ministry. And you were like, well, I think you would be good in sports ministry. And I had never in my entire life until that exact moment ever considered being in ministry, ever. And I remember telling you that, and you're like, oh, really? Well, I think you'd be really good at it. And it was just a seed that was planted in my heart and my mind from that moment of, Lord, like, are you calling me to be in ministry? Because I thought I was just coming here to, like, get solid with you and then go back and do this track and everything else that I wanted to do. And it was a start of this calling. And so by the end of Bible college, the Lord had put on my heart that I was called to ministry. And so my thought was I wanted to be a youth pastor. And after I interned for a year here with you and the youth pastor at the time, the Lord, you asked me to do the junior high and become a part and do the junior high ministry. And my first response was like, no, this is not happening. And you were like, well, why don't you pray about it? And I was like, yeah, okay, I will. And then I didn't really, I'm going to be honest. I was just like, no, it's not happening. But as I continue and the Lord just spoke to me and moved some different things in my heart, he was like, you need to pray about it. And I came back to you, and I accepted, and I shared. And so just how the Lord used Bible college in my life and continued to just grow me was amazing, all the way to the part where then I was the youth pastor, and I was a youth pastor here for 7 years, and then the Lord called us on the mission field, right? And just how you always instilled us to win disciples sinned and then send us out. And I just remember one thing that you always said as well was, wherever you are, you need to plan on burying your bones. Burying your bones. And the reason for that was, one, it's in ministry, it can be this like step up, right? Like, oh, I'm going to be a children's pastor, then I'm going to be a youth pastor, and then eventually you get to be the big dog, right? The senior pastor. And some, unfortunately, in some circles, like that's the mentality. That's not a calling. And when you plan on burying your bones somewhere, there's no looking ahead for something else. It doesn't mean you're unwise about the future, but it's just a part in your heart where this is where I'm at, this is where God has called me, and I'm going to give 110%. I'm going to give everything, and that was Bill and Vi, giving everything. They have burying their bones here in Indianapolis. And I also remember him always saying, multitudes in the valley of decision when you were on a trip, you know, with Mike Mack, and you look and you saw all those people. And that was part of that stirring that called me and my wife to go out on the mission field and just plan on burying our bones in St. Kitts, and that's what we did. But, you know, within 8.5 years, the Lord called us back here. And part of that specifically, I still don't know how this all looks and how it all works, but I specifically went to a pastor's conference in Florida with Malcolm Wilde there and those guys, and they were talking about transitions of Calvary Chapel. And it was a prick on my heart of like, Brandon, you're supposed to go and be back at Horizon and help Bill in his latter years of ministry, because there will be a transition at some point in time. And we had talked about those things. And that's what I did. And I came back. And who knew that it would be what it is right now? I don't think anyone. But just that the Lord was working then for me to be here now. And I just want to thank you. And I also want to encourage you. I once told you that, Bill, you can be my Mr. Willis any day. You can shuffle up my stairs and say that you have an audience with the King. You got Vi and you have such a great family. You don't need me. But as you've taught me and admonished me all these years, may I admonish you, Bill, that the Lord is not done with you yet. And I know you may struggle with what is happening and why this and all this, but if he was done, he would have brought you home. But he didn't. And you will always have an audience with the King. So I don't care if it's a prayer warrior or whatever it is that the Lord has for you. He wasn't done with Mr. Willis all those years and how he impacted your life. And you're still going to impact people's life till the day that you go in that grave and meet the Lord. Love you.
I'm Dave, and I'm supposed to talk about the five states in the Midwest here, and I'll get to that. But I wanted to mention first that I was one of those early guys that moved from back east out to San Diego, and I believe it was my first Sunday there that I was walking up to the North Park Theater, and Bill was outside picking up papers, making sure everything looked perfect for everybody that was coming in. I was there with my friend who brought me to church, and shortly after that, I think they were short on help, and they brought me into leadership, and I had the opportunity to watch Bill close up. And our pastor, Mike, he's a spontaneous kind of guy. Most of you have gotten to meet him, and he thinks big, and he has these ideas. And I had the privilege of watching Bill carry those things out. You know, like Mike would have this vision and all of that, and then there'd be Bill, like, super diligent. I mean, super, super diligent, like just making it happen. And, you know, and some of these things weren't easy, and I was just, that was a sight to behold. It was amazing. And then the Lord called me away. Unfortunately, I would have liked to stay in San Diego. There's can't do everything you want. But the happy part is I went to Europe, eventually met Ginger, and we got married and all of that. And then one time we were in Poland, and Bill came twice to visit me in Poland. Nobody came to visit us in those days. And Bill came twice, once Jerry Barnaby and once Rick Moeller. I think it was the time with Rick Moeller. We were driving around in a town called Tarnów, Poland, where I lived, and Ginger was there with me. And Bill said, were you ever ordained? I said, no. He said, well, you're a pastor. You should be ordained. And so I got this mail order ordination certificate from Horizon Indianapolis sent to Poland. It's like, wow, I'm an ordained pastor in Indianapolis, where I had only ever visited a couple of, like, I had never even lived here, nothing like that. And you know, but the Lord, you know, Bill's just been this older brother that when the Lord has led in my life, it as often as not, it's been through Bill. And so there came a moment when I asked if I could come here for a year to regroup. And so Ginger and I moved here, planned on staying a year, and that's been 25 years now. And I'm a pastor because Bill asked me to do something. Three principles of ministry I learned. These are the ones that you don't do in the ministry class, like principles of ministry, but these are the ones that are kind of the unwritten principles of ministry. Saying the quiet part out loud was that, number one, Bill is a boss. Remember, Bill is the boss. Number two, assume Bill is right. You know, figure it out later. Figure it out, you know, it'll come. And the third one is, my response typically involves something like this. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, Bill. I can take care of that. And so eventually, he asked me, would I take Indiana, you know, and be in touch with the Indiana pastors, because he's the guy in charge of the Midwest, the Great Lakes region, five states, pastors all over. And then he would, you know, being diligent, he would often, still to this day, be able to tell me what's going on with certain Indiana pastors because they call him. I get it. I would call Bill too, even if that's supposed to be me, you know. That's right. But now to the five-state thing, you know, Sandy mentioned that Bill has been a pastor of pastors here in this region, and many of you have gotten to see that we would do these annual meetings with pastors from all over. Important, always free of charge. Everything's always free to serve. Everybody coming from the different states, guys and their wives coming from all over the Midwest, come here, meet for a few days. Somebody like Sandy might be here and speak, and a lot of you have had the privilege of serving at those times. And his heart has been all the time, not just for here, though it's been for here, but it's also been for pastor after pastor, ministry after ministry, all over this entire region. And just like, you know, you can call and, yeah, he's got time and all of that. Guys from all over, from the different states, pastors from the different states have had that ability to call, and he's responsive, and he returns messages, and he's there. And my wife has called about me, and he's been there, and I can't thank him enough. I mean, I thank the Lord, but thank you.
Uh-oh. Yeah, I'm going to straighten a couple things out this morning. My name is Mel Keaton. I have the privilege of serving as the staff chaplain with the City of Lawrence for our police and fire. Our chaplaincy serves both those departments as well as the mayor's office. And Bill's been part of that team for almost 14 years now. And so we just have some celebrating to do about that, along with all the other things that we've heard this morning. And I'm with all these other guys, just like Dave. Yeah, when Bill speaks up, you listen. And so I count it a privilege to have Bill as a mentor, as a friend, as a brother. And so, like I said, he joined our team about 14 years ago. But I knew who Bill was, I knew who Horizon was, but we actually met a few years before that. And I was in a situation serving as chaplain. He showed up as, him and a couple of the other guys showed up as the family pastor. And the one thing that immediately, I hope it didn't show on my face, but the thing that immediately went through my mind, they showed up, they had sandals and shorts on. And I was like, who are these hippies? So I come from a very traditional way of doing church and pastoring and things. So, but honestly, and we've laughed about that since then, but what was obvious that moment in that day in the middle of a tragedy was that he was loved by the family. And so that's pretty amazing, because I can't always say that when I turn a scene or a situation over to the family pastor. I'm like, dear God, help them. So, yeah, that was, I mean, that's what really stood out that day. So Bill joined our team. He's been part of that, part of it really became not only an anchor and leadership with the chaplaincy, but also for me personally. And I've just been, you know, just after he joined the team, went through some really personal, really toughest time in our lives in ministry. And Bill was right there. He's that guy you can sit down with and say, I am angry right now. I am scared right now. I'm a little confused, not sure what the next step is. And this is what Bill would do. He'd be like, well, I wonder what God might be doing right now. I don't know if you've ever sat and talked with Bill, and he kind of brought that question out like, I wonder. And he even used the term, did you make up the word wonderment? Yeah. You've heard it, right? Just a wonderment about what God might be up to in the middle of whatever. And so it's just been a privilege to grow in friendship, grow in brotherhood. I do want to kind of mention one other thing. It's my understanding that I serve as a reserve police officer as well, so Bill's ridden with me a lot of times on patrol. And it's my understanding that a lot of stories have been told from this pulpit about those rides. So, you know, you may have not ever met me, but you heard about riding with Mel one night and what happened. So I cannot speak to the veracity of Bill's versions, but what I do want to state for the benefit of my bosses who are also in the room is everything was within policy. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm not sure what all he told you, but yeah. Honestly, it's amazing how everybody refers to him as Bill. When our friendship first started developing, and I told you I come from a traditional. I'm actually ordained through Horizon now, and I believe I'm still listed as one of your missionaries. But I come from this traditional thing. And we were walking around. He was showing me around the property one day, and we're walking out of the office through the school, and somebody on staff, just whatever, just goes, "Hey, Bill," and I'm like, "Hey, Bill," like, and I think I said to him, "She doesn't call you Pastor Bill?" He just kind of looked at me and smirked and laughed at me and said, "No." I'm like, "Okay." So, yeah, just learned a lot with Bill as a friend, as a mentor, as an anchor for the ministry and personally. You know, he really is that guy, you know. And there's not a whole lot of people in the world you can just go, yeah, they answer your call, and they help you with those things. And you know, our chaplaincy has grown leaps and bounds in the last decade or so. We've doubled in size. Several of the men on this staff serve, or previous staff have served as chaplains. Members of this congregation took over the support wagon. It was a thing previously run by Ladies Auxiliary. It's a former ambulance that now has coffee and water and Gatorade and things. And we come out to different crime scenes and searches and rescues and fires and SWAT call-outs. But you guys have been a part of that. It's led by people from this church. It's staffed by people from this church. Just a few weeks ago, we had our annual pastor's meet and greet with the mayor and the chiefs, and many of you made brownies or cookies or whatever for that, and then came and staffed it. Tomorrow, many of us will, on a big holiday, national holiday, many of us will work 16, 17 hours making everything happen with the July 4th Fourth Fest here in the city of Lawrence. The support team, many of you have already made cookies or brownies or donated something for that. And on a holiday, a bunch of you will be there serving all of our police, on-duty fire, parks people, folks that are just working all day long, have a place to come and relax and actually eat good food. Prior to that, we'd be eating like Village Pantry and carnival food all day. And it shows. But I'm grateful for the friendship with Bill, but the friendship with this church and with the ministry here and the things we've been able to do for our community together as we represent God's kingdom. And that's truly miraculous. So me taking on Bill's wonderment, you know, I just wonder what God has next for this church, for Jordan, for the staff, for Bill and Vi. And we will continue to serve this community and continue to represent God's kingdom in faithful ways. So that's my little personal thing. So, but I actually have, there's quite a few of our leaders from the city of Lawrence here with us this morning, and we have some official business we need to take care of. So I'm going to invite them to join us now. Mayor Steve Collier is with us this morning. His chief of staff, David Hoffman, who's our former police chief, Dino Batalis, who is our fire chief, Gary Woodruff, who is our police chief, and Curtis Bigsby, who is our deputy chief of police. And I'm just going to turn it over to these guys. It's a big deal when that many people from the city show up in one place. And either something really bad has happened, or we're celebrating a life and a ministry that is worthy of every moment we could give it today. So I'm going to turn it over to these guys.
Oh, good morning, everyone. Bill, it's not a disrespect, but I can't look at you when I talk to you right now. So, but, you know, there's a... From our department, one of the big things, you've been a tremendous asset to our department, and there's many of ministers, priests, counselors, several others that wish they had some of the attributes that you possess, and that is being able to sit down with somebody that you're trying to help and have them open up and be and feel secure. And you've just got that knack with people that people can open up to you and they feel that. And so many people would love to have those qualities that you possess. And one thing that not only does he help our department open wide, but for me, I had something pretty tragic happen a few years back. I lost a firefighter in the line of duty. And as a fire chief, that's probably one of the worst things you can have happen. Along with that is that you have to talk at a funeral. And in 77, I talked at my mom's funeral. I hadn't talked at one since. Even when my dad passed, I had to write it down to have somebody else talk. So I called Bill. We had met a couple times. And he even made time the day of the service beforehand and talked me through it. We prayed about it. And next thing you know, I was through that talk. So I personally have witnessed that. And there's just one thing I want to tell you today is that we love you. You'll always be part of our fire department family, and please don't be a stranger.
Well, I'm Gary Woodruff. I'm the police chief for the city of Lawrence, and it's an honor to be here with you and share with you for a few moments. And Bill, thank you so much on behalf of the Lawrence Police Department for everything you have done for us. The staff chaplains and in particular Bill serve a critical purpose for the police department. One of the big pieces that we've been focusing on in the last several years are officer wellness and resiliency. And when Bill comes to scenes of critical incidents and interacts with our law enforcement officers, it makes a significant, just the impact cannot even be measured or described accurately here. So we're thankful for that. And as I think about Bill, I think about there are people that are present and there are people that have presence. Yeah. And he brings a presence that is very significant. So we'll miss that, but you have a home. Anytime you want to come to the police station, we'd love to see you. We're always grateful for your presence there, Bill. Thank you.
My name is David Hoffman. I'm the former police chief and now the chief of staff for Mayor Collier in the city of Lawrence. So many things I could say, but we're getting into our second hour here, the end of our second hour, so I'll keep it brief. My mom, Helen, my wife, Jennifer, are in attendance as well. Bill's impact on our lives personally has been immeasurable. He saw us through our absolute darkest day last year. And he did so. He was a hero to our family, and I won't go too deep into that. But I do have the pleasure today of delivering a proclamation, which is an official municipal document that recognizes Bill. It is authored by the mayor of Lawrence, who I'm kind of filling in for right now because he has something really cool coming down the road. So I'm filling in on this proclamation. For those of you that don't know, proclamations have a lot of whereases to them. And for the kids in the room, whereas is sort of like kind of a fancy word for because,
right? And then at the very end, it's whereas, 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 and then it builds up to something at the end. So I have 8 whereases, for those of you keeping track. And honestly, the thunder has already been stolen, because these whereases have, in one way or another, already been mentioned. So bear with me here. Whereas number one, whereas Pastor Bill Goodrich has served the city of Lawrence, Indiana, and his country in the United States Navy, as well as a variety of other spiritual roles, most notably as the senior pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship of Indianapolis since its founding more than 34 years ago. Whereas Pastor Goodrich has served as an overseer of the Great Lakes region of all Calvary Chapel Association churches in Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, and Wisconsin for much of his career in ministry leadership. Whereas Bill Goodrich is the founder of the Horizon International Missions, which is an international arm of Horizon Christian Fellowship, has served internationally with more than 30 visits to Ukraine and Kyrgyzstan? Is that Kyrgyzstan? I'm sorry. A long way away, whose vision and church planting fellowship has resulted in more than 20 new churches being planted globally. Whereas Bill has been a public safety chaplain with the Lawrence Police and Fire Departments and in prison ministry, providing blessings and invocations for various city events, such as National Day of Prayer observances and military anniversary flag-raising ceremonies. Whereas Bill Goodrich founded Horizon Christian School, where he served in many roles and capacities as board chair, president, and board chair of Horizon University, which is an accredited university with on-site degrees at the bachelor's and master's levels. Whereas Pastor Goodrich, through his tireless efforts, service, and dedication, has impacted lives across generations and borders, providing teaching and counseling for those in need for so many years. Whereas Pastor Goodrich has served as superintendent of Camp Indy, right here in Lawrence, a summer day camp that serves more than 1,000 youth and children each summer. And finally, whereas Pastor Bill Goodrich is lovingly supported by his wife Vi and wonderful children Jeremy, Kirsten, and Brett, therefore, now I, Stephen K. Collier, Mayor of the City of Lawrence, do hereby proclaim July 3rd, 2022, as Pastor Bill Goodrich Day in the City of Lawrence. And this is going to top that.
I don't know about that. I did write all those whereases because you have to. I have to apologize for them. I read more whereases than I ever want to admit to. But it wasn't too bad having Dave read them today, because when I read them, I get bored. When I do that. But actually, that's one of the better proclamations and happier ones I've ever had a part to play in. Bill, I think that I was a teacher for 33 years. You know that. Anybody who knows that about me. But I can tell you today, without any question, that you are the best teacher I've ever had. Did you know that? So back to the big stuff here. This is actually from the state of Indiana, Office of the Governor, Eric J. Holcomb. To all to whom these presents may come, greetings. Whereas some individuals distinguish themselves through significant contributions to their communities, and whereas the qualities and characteristics of such individuals reflect the best of the great state of Indiana, and whereas the actions of these individuals endear them in the hearts and minds of all Hoosiers, and whereas the individual named below is such a person who has earned the respect and admiration of Hoosiers across the state and is worthy to join the ranks of those so honored, now therefore I, Eric J. Holcomb, Governor of the State of Indiana, do hereby declare and appoint Bill Goodrich as a distinguished Hoosier. in testimony whereof I have adherent to set my seal and caused to be affixed the great seal of the state of Indiana, done this third day of July in the year 2022. Congratulations. I got to add one more thing about Bill and I's relationship. Bill has taught me patience. And trust me when I tell you that when you become a mayor of a city, that patience is a virtue you have to have. And I often wondered where in the world Bill was able to get that teaching, that skill, to teach me patience. I found that person in Vi. And Vi, you, there's no question that your influence on Bill has been unbelievably apparent. So, Vi, thank you for sharing Bill with us for all these years. Thank you.
My goodness, how do you follow that? My name is Randall Dodge. I serve as president of Horizon University. I'd like to ask Dave Holly, who's the vice chairman of the Board of Trustees for Horizon University, to join me here on the platform. And also Dr. Dave Kosabutsky, if you would join me up here on the platform as well. Dr. Kosabutsky is the academic dean for Horizon University. Dr. Kosabutsky reminded me recently that the word doctor originates with the church. Do you know that we mostly think, when we think of the word doctor, we think of physicians, right? People in the medical profession. But originally, the term doctor was used to describe someone who taught the true doctrine. In fact, the Latin origin of the word doctor actually means teacher. So the university is a place that recognizes those who are good teachers, and most of us wear multiple hats. Today, we're going to put on our university hats for just a moment. But we at Horizon University, and we at Horizon Christian Fellowship Indy, have been so blessed to have a pastor who is passionate about teaching us correct doctrine. Amen? Amen. Bill Goodrich has demonstrated his gift for teaching the Word of God from the pulpit and the classroom. Many of you know that at 65 years of age, Bill dedicated himself to return to college and complete his bachelor's degree in leadership and ministry. He graduated from Horizon University with honors. And then he embarked in Horizon University's very first graduate program, a Master of Arts in Biblical Studies, because Bill believes that there's always more to learn about God's Word. Bill has always insisted at Horizon University that in addition to having the right academic credentials, our faculty and leaders must also have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and be able to teach correct doctrine. So, representing the Board of Trustees through Dave Holly and the faculty through Dr. David Kosabutsky, I'm going to ask these gentlemen if they would also give Bill a university cap for just a symbolic moment here. And go ahead, gentlemen, if you'll, what we're presenting to Bill today is an honorary doctorate. Our board and our faculty are united in our resolve to honor William G. Goodrich today by presenting him with a Doctorate of Divinity Honoris Causa with all the rights, privileges, and honors thereto pertaining. This doctorate is issued by the Board of Trustees upon recommendation of the faculty on this third day of July, 2024. And I'm honored to present to you Dr. William Goodrich. And while Bill is often referred to as just Bill because he does not like titles, you now have the right to call him Dr. Bill Goodrich anytime you like. Thank you.
You know, you could always tell when you met someone who didn't know Bill well because they'd call him Pastor Bill. As we get ready to worship, Ed, come on up. We're gonna just end this with the way we should end it, which is praising Jesus through song, and just thanking God for His goodness. I know this. I'll tell you a quick story while these guys are coming up. I have a client who spent a lot of time around a lot of guys from this church over the years, and one day we were playing golf, and he asked me. He said, Ron. He goes, why is every guy I meet from Horizon so solid? And I said, well, that's real easy. Because I have a pastor who loves Jesus, loves his wife, loves the congregation, and is doggedly faithful to teach the Word of God. Amen? So let's stand and let's worship Jesus and thank him for his goodness. And the goodness that we've got to celebrate this day. And then I'll end us in prayer when we're done with worship.